Fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales. Steve, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So everybody, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast, sales episode, whatever the heck we call this thing. I never know what we call these things, man. We got a podcast every day of the week. We're also starting a women's podcast. And we just decided on a name yesterday, and I can't remember what it is. It'll be a total separate show for women in construction. So be on the lookout for that, everybody. But Derek is doing his own sales training call right now in Battlegrounds. So Steve, it's me and you. Or is it you and I? No, it's me and you. It's just me. It's not just I, if I take correct. You out of it. So there you go. See, I did it, man. I did it. So thinking about this topic, this has been rolling around in my head for a long time. And it just felt like the right time to talk about this. And I think you're a great one to talk to with this topic or about this topic. My personal experiences with salespeople over the past several months and even longer than that have pretty much been been shitty, man. Like they're just, and even Neil called me the other day. He went to buy patio furniture for his deck or something. And he was like, he called me right after. He's like, dude, I just can't believe how bad salespeople are. And I'm thinking how I felt in these sales processes with people, I could even call it that. I feel like they care about them. They care about barfing all over you about how great their company is or the product. They care about their commission and their income. And I think, Steve, it comes across in ways like the lack of caring to me. This is how I'm reading it. And I guess that's what matters, right? Is how the people we communicate with feel, right? Is like they don't return a phone call. They don't send something when they said they were going to send it. You know, I'm dealing with somebody right now for our wedding and they're supposed to send me a link so I can pay them. And I'm chasing them to pay them and they still haven't sent the link. I mean, it's all these things combined. And I don't know, maybe I'm off here, man, but I just feel like the root of this is they just don't give a shit. That's how I feel. I don't know. That's right.
Well, I have, before Shin Fu and after Shin Fu. So I have probably 30 years of sales before that, 10 years of sales after that. And the biggest difference is I was listening to what they really said for the first time in my life, like caring about what their situation really is to figure out. If not only can I do the work, you know, that they want done, but are we going to be a good fit to do that? And I will tell you, and I did exactly what you're talking about. All I did but the first 30 years was, you know, tap dance and just try to tell people I was so smart. And they didn't give a shit. Except I didn't know that until you don't know that your baby's really ugly until they grow up and you look at the pictures and go, honey, we used to think Amanda was the most beautiful baby in the world, but she's kind of ugly, you know? So you got to get on the other side of something. The Shin Fu is what I'm talking about before you realize that what I was doing was just not the right way. It was just stupid. Mm-hmm. And the new way, I can't tell you how many times, because I always ask the question at the end, or normally like I'm in the project, we're actually building it. Why did you pick us? Why'd you pick Premium Bond? And they would always say, because you seem to get our vision. You seem to listen. You seem to understand. And a lot of times, we never really talked much about the actual project.
Yeah.
We talked about the other contractors and how they came in and spilt paint all over the carpet or something like that. That's the real concern. It's not the painting or the plumbing or the pond building or whatever it is you do. So, you know, listening and caring are the same. And, you know, I'm going to go down a real deep rabbit hole. I went sailing this past weekend with a whole bunch of people on this big ass sailboat. which was really great. And I'll just put a plug in for money for a second. I have a brother-in-law who's dying, and one of his last wishes was to go sailing with his family. So I just got this 53-foot sailboat, which requires a shit ton of money. I rented it for 4 days. I barely know how to sail the goddamn thing, to be honest, but I threw his whole family. There was probably, all in all, 20 different people that came in and came out kind of thing. And I made that last wish of his. Literally, he's on the boat, just barely hanging on, but he's doing what he wanted to do, sail with his family on Father's Day. And I only money makes that shit happen. Yes, you got to have a will to want to make it happen, but if you can't pull out your credit card and throw $5,000 on it on a whim to light up someone else's life, that's the purpose of everything you and I are doing right now, Tom. That's the real purpose of this shit, is not to collect a bunch of money for yourself, but to share it with everybody and create moments and experiences that change people's lives, not just yours, but everybody who touches you. So this caring business goes deep, but let me finish my story real quick. I'm with a business coach. Another coach is on that boat, and I know she was a coach, but she's a corporate coach. She goes in and does executive coaching, like the CEO of IBM, for instance, and she coaches him to try to get his team to do what they're supposed to be doing. And so I was explaining a bit about the Shin Fu, and she goes, "Oh, that's just manipulation." I'm like, "Okay, well, let me just ask you a few questions, okay? If I call you up, and let's just say, take painting, and I ask you some questions like, why do you want to paint your house? Is that manipulation? No, it's like, why do you want to paint your house? And by time I go, you know, another layer, well, how long have you been putting it off for? What if you don't do it? You know, you might get down to a reason like, well, I'm kind of embarrassed because I have the shitty house on the block. So the real pain is embarrassment. It's painting is the thing that's going to happen to remove the real pain, which is embarrassment. I said, how is that manipulation? That now I know the reason I'm painting this house is not to change colors. It's just so her and her family aren't embarrassed every time they pull it up.
What'd she say to all that?
Well, she didn't. I don't think she was kind of to it.
She was still hanging on to it, huh?
Yeah. She, it's so crazy. She was like coaching. And we know this. Coaching is pulling information from people. Advising and counseling is pushing information. And you're just pushing. I'm like, I'm not actually pushing anything. Everything I do is ask questions. That requires an answer. I simply ask a question, and I'm trying to pull an answer out. And she wasn't having it, but I don't really give a shit.
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to go. I usually do a rant about something like this, but I'm not going to do that today, Steve, because I got to manage my energy properly today. I need to stay positive. So I'm going to do that. But in short, you know, I don't give a fuck what she thinks either. So there you go. So caring comes across. So let's practically, you know, guys, caring comes across like when you're having a conversation with somebody, whether it's on the phone or person or whatever, like be, I don't care if it's your spouse, your kid, your fucking neighbor, a client, a prospect, whatever. It's be where your feet are, right? Be all in where you are right now. I mean, how many times have you, I was with a salesperson looking to drop several $1,000s on something. The guy kept pulling out his phone and checking it and answering texts, you know? And I literally said to the guy, I said, hey, do you want me to run my card today for whatever this is going to cost? Or do you want to keep doing the shit on your phone? Because I got about 5 minutes left here today. And I just think people are not as present as they need to be. And that, I mean, let's just go to the marriage thing, right? Our relationships. I mean, I don't know about you, man, but there's been times where the queen has said to me, she's talking to me and I'm like being an asshole and I'm distracted by something. And she just stops and it's silent. And then I finally look up and she's like, are you done? Or is that more important than what I have to tell you right now? You know, like it's just, she calls me on my bullshit. And so I think how many times do we just communicate with our body language, our eye contact, whatever, just that part that we don't care. I think it comes across that way. I think it comes across in the lack of questions or pulling that you were talking about. I think it comes across in the lack of following through with the shit we said we would do. You want to elaborate on any of those or add to them?
Well, Let me just talk about hold space, because I joined a coaches group a couple of years back and they talked about holding space and I just didn't understand this concept. And here it is in a nutshell, and it's rooted in caring. My wife comes to me with problems, issues, things. And my first inclination is to do what? Obviously.
Fix it, man.
I want to fix everything. But the last thing she wants is for me just to jump in and fix. She literally just wants a sounding board and to get all the stuff off of her brain, off of her chest, whatever. And my job is to sit there and pay attention, not on my phone, sit there and hold space for her. Meaning, I'm in a place where I'm not judging what she's saying. I'm not trying to fix what she's saying. I'm just there as a backstop to hear what she's saying. Mm-hmm. And then my next step, the true act of caring, is to validate what she's saying. Oh, that must really suck. Instead of, why don't you just cut that son of a bitch off? You know, like, oh, that must really suck. I mean, but this is a way to retrain yourself to just not fix every goddamn thing. And this is what we do as contractors. Someone calls us up. They got a problem, right? Nobody calls us up without a problem. And what do we try to do? We want to fix it because that's what we're bred to do. We've been taught since birth, you know, by dad, grandpa, great grandpa, and moms, and everything. Mm-hmm. We fix everything. So it's a hard, you know, I always see these guru-ish people, you know, the Buddhas and things like that. They're always calm. Chris Dwyer's like this.
Yeah.
They're always calm. Right in the middle of the heat of the battle, they'll go something like, well, what do you think about that? And I'm like, whoa, wait, bullets are flying, man. We need to be overreacting all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And they're just calm. I'm like, but they really get it. They really get, just sit there, savor the moment, enjoy the moment. I mean, if you're on the phone with a client, how many times do you go, oh my God, they're just droning on and on and on. But in reality, you paid good money to get that person to call you.
Mm-hmm.
The least you can do is hear them out. I mean, you know, you call yourself, we'll just pick a trade, painter, but you're not really that. You're a marketer. You're a salesperson. You're an operation person. You're a shrink. You're a leader. Mm-hmm. You're all these things. And really the last thing you need to be is a goddamn painter.
Yeah.
And part of that is learning to communicate, how to communicate, so people pick you. Your wife to pick you. You want your employees to pick you. You want everybody to pick you. I mean, when these people are searching around for coaching programs, we want them to pick us, mm-hmm. right? And if they feel like we give a shit, we really give a shit. I mean, I can't tell you how many people leave the program and they'll get a text from you or me going, hey, dude, you're out. I know it, but I want you to know that you know how to get me. You need me. Whether you're in or out of our program, you need me, mm-hmm. you got me.
Yeah.
And that goes a long ways.
Yep.
And how many of those people do we see back when they get back on their feet? They come right back in the program.
All the time. Happens all the time.
If you're a window installer, you deserve a simple choice. Anderson 400 series windows. They're the windows contractors trust the most based on a 2022 survey of U.S. contractors. Probably because they have fewer callbacks and extra peace of mind. And thanks to shortened lead times, they're available faster. At the Contractor Fight, we like to highlight companies and products who have a track record of delivering high quality and service to contractors, like Anderson 400 Series Windows. Request a quote today at andersonwindows.com.
So you just actually shared something that I think is important to draw attention to. And I'm going to, you're talking about the painter. You're not really a painter. Most painters think they're really a painter, which is why they scratch their head when they're like, I do way better work than everybody else and all these other guys. And these guys that don't do as good a work as me are making all this crazy money. They must be fucking somebody over. Do you know what I mean? And it makes me think of you in the pond industry. And I know you know what I'm talking about. So share that a bit, because you understood the difference between being a pond guy and being somebody who cares and builds relationship and connection and sells based on somebody's needs and not you being a great painter. And I want to say this because I always get hate mail when I say this, Steve. Guys, I'm not saying that quality doesn't matter. Okay. Of course, quality matters. When you hire a professional to do anything, you want it to be solid with the quality or the experience and all those things. But speak to that, because you used to catch slack for this all the time. Or flack, so, not slack, flack.
Yeah, I would be on stage numerous times talking to 1,000 people at a pop, 800 people at a pop. And in the pond world, artistry is everything. Mm-hmm. Because it's a fucked up world, to be honest with you. They don't think about running a business. They don't think about money. They don't think about all those things. I mean, they think about them, but they don't do anything about it. Their big chest beating moments are to show a picture of a project that has rocks the size of cars, you know, and they ooh mm-hmm. and ah over the artistry and all that kind of stuff. But what they don't tell you is in the background, the whole experience for the homeowner was probably a nightmare. Like, they bowled over their fences with bulldozers. They bring this heavy equipment in, and it's a fucking disaster. And yeah, the pond's beautiful for when they leave, but everything around it is like a bomb hit it. And it just wasn't that pleasant. Now, I come into the picture. I never built a pond in my life. I don't have all this artistry. I was a pool guy, straight, level, plumb, and square. And now I'm supposed to do things irregular with rock. I got to lift the rocks up. So me and a guy, what am I going to do? We can go up to 400 pounds with four people on a blanket. And that's mm-hmm. it. So all of my ponds are built with smaller rocks. I go into DC, into the backyards. I don't use machinery. And so they look at my artistry of my work and they laugh at me. Yeah. Now I'm on stage and I say shit like this. I'm trying to teach them how to get their lives back, right? How to be home for dinner at 5 o'clock and how to have a bank account and retirement account, that kind of shit. And I go, who in the hamburger world has the shittiest hamburger? McDonald's. Who in the hamburger world makes the most money? McDonald's. So why is a company with the shittiest burger make the most money? That's me. Mm-hmm. I'm the worst artist in this room. But I make 10 times the money of most of you.
Yeah.
What is wrong with this pick? And I know you talk about me behind my back. I know what you say. But I also know that, and you're mad at me and you call me names. You call me shit shyster. You call me a thief. You tell me I'm ripping people off or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, and the big guy, the pond guy, he figured this out and said it so. He goes, yeah, but Steve goes into someone's backyard and he creates such an experience that they love it. And whatever they had before, whatever Steve puts in is 100 times better than what they had. And the experience is there and he's there to maintain it the whole time. So it is seamless and painless the entire life of the pond.
Yep.
You other guys, you're a pain in the ass. So once they come around to it, slowly, you know, they start to come to me and go, Steve, I need to make more money. Then they start to understand the running of a business. But the concept is this. You're not there to do the technical side of things if you're going to build a business. You're there to build a business first. Think of your business like your art. Literally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you? I know most of us, we envision the after product of whatever we do. Like the remodeled kitchen. Boom. You can see it in your head before you even tear out the old kitchen. Right? But do you see the flow of your business like that? Do you clearly see I market, I sell, I operate, I back office, I lead? Do you see the flow of everything? Do you see your business like the art form that it should be? That was my true artistry, was the business, the running of the business, not the pond building. And after a while, I got a couple of guys that were good at it. I didn't even go out in the field for the last 10 years. I just ran the business.
Well, then you had more money to invest in recruiting better people and train your guys and this and that. So the artistry and that whole game amped itself up. But, you know, how many people spend crazy amounts of money and time trying to get better at hanging crown molding, right? Or whatever their art is in that way. And they give total scraps of their time, money, and effort to developing all those things that you were talking about. And so, and you know, Steve, when I coach people on marketing, I always encourage them to pick three strategies and then we create tactics around those strategies. But I always tell them one of the strategies has to be, and I use what if questions. Hey, what if we blah, blah, blah. So one marketing strategy that has changed the game for a lot of people is what if we created the best experience somebody's ever had with a contractor? Just think about that for a second as a strategy. the way you communicate with people, the way you show up on time, the way you clean up, the way you care about the pets, the questions you ask when we're getting motive in the Shin Fu and all those things we started this thing with about their reasons for buying. It's embarrassment and understand. Guys, that's all part of the experience. And most of that shit, dude, is free. You know, when it comes to money, but you got to level up your skills as a communicator. And guys, I'm telling you, Steve, you spent in those last 10 years, 8 to 10 years, whatever it was, this is just me from afar kind of knowing. You probably spent around $100,000 a year in marketing. Most of it was on your marketing guy, it was on Logan and him and some ads and a lot of content creation and video. But the other marketing strategy that put shit tons of money in your pocket was the experience you gave people and the way you cared and the way, and that's why you had these loyal clients over and over and over, you know, that had no problem with the prices that you charged and all these other things, because you were excelling in the art of running the business, not just building a pot. So
here's a tip that'll be well worth this podcast if you just get this one tip. So if you're listening to me, remember, write this down. If you view your company as a customer experience company, mm-hmm. and not whatever you do, you know, remodeler or something, but you look at everything, every aspect as a customer experience, like look at it from their standpoint. Mm-hmm. If you do that, you will double your business and double your money in 1 year.
Easily.
If not, yep. Way more than that. Yeah. And that comes from, and the exercise you should do is you pretend you're a customer and you just walk down the life cycle of your customer. Every touch point they see you on the internet. What is that? I mean, does that present a good customer experience? They call you. Is that a good experience? Are you picking up and say hello, or are you going to like 48, you know, message mm-hmm. machine? I mean, all along the way, all the way to final payment and then warranty walkthroughs and retain them as a customer for life. All of that, if you focus on that aspect of it, your mm-hmm. price becomes more and more irrelevant. Mm. Because more and more people want a good experience and are willing to pay up for it. Yes, there's a bunch of tire kickers that only want the bottom line price. And if they're your customers, hang up right now, because this is not the podcast for you. Okay, so, but you are customer experience company first, everything else second.
Dude, you touched on this, and I'll end with this, and then you can close us out with any other things you want to share. So you mentioned, you know, do you answer your phone? I want to camp on that for a minute. If you really care about your customers and your prospects, you would answer the phone, meaning you'd do it personally. If you're a smaller business, you'll hire an answering service or you'll hire somebody out, whatever it is. You'll answer. Put yourself in the shoes of a client or a prospect when you call a company and it goes to voicemail. I forget the exact stats, but it's something like 85% of people that get a voicemail with a business don't leave a message, and like 90% of them don't call the company back. Like, just think about that. And now you just added frustration to those people's lives. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I got a bunch of clients coming into town tonight for the next 3 days here at my house, and we're getting things ready. One of our rooms needed the carpet cleaned in it because of the pets, blah, blah, blah. She got on the phone, called around, this and that. Guy comes out, cleans the carpets. I think it was just yesterday or Monday, whatever day it was. And she's standing on our front porch having a conversation with the guy after he's done. He did a great job. Everything was awesome. Really nice, pleasant person. And she says, "Can I tell you why you got my business?" He goes, "Yeah." She goes, "You answered your phone." She didn't. I was inside and the screen was open. I could hear her. She goes, "It is so frustrating when people don't answer. Like, if you're going to be in business, why would you not answer your phone? And I really appreciate you answering your phone." She's like, he goes, "Yeah, it's sometimes that simple, isn't it?" Okay. So guys, to me, it's like, if you're not working some sort of process system, personally doing it, hiring, like I said, to answer your phone and communicate with people right away, I would, Steve, pretty much venture to say that that's an example that you don't give a shit. Personally, that's how I look at it. So I'm done, man. What else you got? Anything else?
I'll just end with a story. I used to, a year and a half ago, I'd sold my pawn company. But before that, for 10 years, I was knee deep, sitting behind a computer, fielding pictures and calls and all kinds of stuff. But every single day, I would go in my backyard and I'd hike in my beautiful woods for an hour and a half. My phone would ring and I would say hello. I'm like, I'm out here, but I'm saying hello. And then they would talk to me. I need a pond, whatever. I said, great. Listen, I'm hiking at the moment right now. Oh, really? Where do you hike? Oh, behind my house. I go every day for an hour and a half. And they go, and you know what? Let me ask you a question, Tom. Do you think, and I asked them, so can I call you in an hour when I get back? I'll call you right back when I get home because I want to focus on you, okay, right now. And in the meantime, go take some pictures of your pond and send them to me right through my website. And then so when I got back, I would call them back. Now, if you called me up and I said, Tom, I'm in the middle of my daily hike right now, but I want you to send me some pictures and I'll call you right back in an hour. And I call you back. Do you feel like I devalued you by getting you off the phone and not answering your questions because I was too busy hiking, or would you think otherwise?
To me personally, I would have the box checked that I communicated with you and the ball's moving forward. And I would feel like good about that, 100%.
So let me tell you what, 100% of them, not 99.9, but 100% of them would go, man, I want your job. I was just willing to be a human being. I'm out here hiking with my dogs, something I do every day. It's just like, you know, I need this time, exercise, all of it. And they were super impressed. Oh, I'm so sorry to bother you on your hike. I'm like, hey, no bother. So I had not listened to my inner head saying this hiking is good. Them calling me is good. Me being honest with them is good. Me calling them back as soon as I get back is good. It's all good because I care about them. I care about their experience. And the more I cared about them, the bigger my bank account got.
I just went through this. So one of the things I'm doing here with our clients coming in is I have a mobile axe throwing company coming in one of the nights. And, you know, I have a private chef for every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 days here for our clients. I got a axe thing, you know, and you know we're going to kick ass and help them grow their businesses. Dude, I finally got somebody to answer the phone and I hired the axe company that answered the phone. Dude, I had sent emails on their on these other companies' websites days, you know, week ago or what, a couple weeks ago, never got a reply. I had left a voicemail a couple times at one place, believe it or not. So I did leave a voicemail because I needed this. And then what I was blown away with, dude, was the number of companies, and I know this doesn't apply so much to contracts, but the number of companies that didn't have a phone number, you know what I mean, to call. And that's pretty frustrating too. You know, like, you know, every time we try to do something online, they want to automate it and send you to a chat thing, you know, and it's like, can I just pick the damn phone up? I mean, I was bitching about the payment link. I'm trying to pay somebody for our wedding. And this woman's like, well, we don't have a payment link. And I'm like, well, you need to have a payment link. I'll pay you right now. You're losing money. This, like, I'm fighting with this lady. Guys, get with the times, please. Make it easy for people to do business with you. That's how you show your care. So anyway, speaking of, I got to go get my house ready. Finish doing that. I got people cleaning up outside, inside. I do a little more shopping here for a couple things. All that good stuff.
And well, good luck with the axe throwing stuff. And I hope this is not our last podcast together.
Oh, I think we'll be okay, man. We'll be all right. So
have a good week.
Anyway, I will. Good chat with you, buddy. And guys, give us a rating, review, share this with another contractor. Take stock today. Just sit down, jot down some ways that you can show that you care a little more. And I promise, like Steve says, you're going to at least 2x your revenue and your profit and all that good stuff. You guys rock. We got to roll. We are out.